Can we bow for a moment of prayer, please? Father, come in mercy on us all and wash me afresh in the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanseth us from all sin. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. Nothing but the blood of Jesus that atoned for all of our sins before our salvation and when we need to come as Christians to be cleansed afresh. And I do believe, Lord, the longer we serve Thee, the closer we walk with Thee, the more conscious we are that we cannot do without the blood. We cannot approach Thee without the blood, carefully. That we might be able to enter into the holiest of holies because of the blood. In one moment, no matter how defiled we have been in our unsaved days, and no matter what happens, we come to Thee with the blood, and in one moment we have access to be as close to God here on earth as we ever will be in eternity in heaven because of the blood. Thank Thee for the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thank Thee for His death. Thank Thee that He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Wherefore and whereby He is able to save them to the uttermost who come to God through Him. Thank Thee for our advocate, our high priest, and especially for His death, that we may live for eternity if we believe. So we come. We come as Thy people, and we bow before Thee in humility and worship Thee for Jesus Christ above all things that could ever enter our mind. Come therefore through Thy holy word, and by the Holy Spirit, give life to this book. The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Come therefore by Thy Holy Spirit to give life to this holy book that will give life to all of us, even the hardest, coldest, darkest heart here tonight. Come, Lord, visit it, that they know they have dealings with God Himself, not man, tonight. And so we ask these things in the name of Jesus the Christ, God manifest in the flesh, God the Son. And for His sake, amen. We read in 1 Timothy 5:22, neither be partakers of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Neither be partakers of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Neither give place to the devil. Ephesians 4 verse 27.
neither give place to the devil. That is, don't give the devil any opportunity to defile you again. Don't invite Satan to destroy you, Christian, by giving him what he's waiting for, opportunity. Neither give place to the devil. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5 verse 8. The title of my sermon tonight is When Victory is Impossible. When victory is impossible. My wife and I, for the last number of years, have gone annually to visit the country of New Zealand. And we have spoken to many, many people across that land. One of the towns we have been in, we have been blessed to stay in the home of a man and woman. Their names are Barry and Lois Jordan. Now they are unique. They are rare. They just live. It's like every breath in their body is consumed for one thing, to win people to Christ. It's startling to sit with such people. They were married as young people, and their honeymoon was to go as missionaries. Their whole honeymoon to Europe. They went to Romania, Yugoslavia, different countries. And they have started conferences, youth conferences, and other conferences that they, over the years and the years, have developed, that she goes back, she's even there now, to reach out to these young people, many of them drug addicts. They go on the streets, they go on these big pipes, drainage, where hundreds and hundreds and cities upon cities across Europe are just drug addicts, left home, don't have any fixed abode, as it were, because parents' lives have been so destroyed, young people just flee, live in these drains, so they reach them. But they go as many times as they can, for as long as they can, across Europe. And they're a real blessing to me and my wife. They were sharing something that startled me. When they used to go in the early days, they noticed that, not like America, you break down your old buildings to replace them with new. In Europe, you don't break the old buildings down. They keep things there for hundreds, sometimes thousands of years the buildings have stood. They protect them, they preserve them, they treasure them. The station in Bucharest in Hungary is so old, but they refuse to change the station. Modernize different sections, yes, but the old building's still there. And you know you're in an historical building. But they were stunned as they went into Bucharest station the first time, and thereafter, at how many dogs, stray wild dogs, lived on the station, in the yards, in the sheds, scavenging out of the trash heaps, the dirt bins, to stay alive. But there they were, scores of these dogs, running wild, all together as packs, staying alive somehow under this, in the extreme cold of Europe, staying alive. This was their home, the station of Bucharest. But then they saw something startling. They noticed that these dogs did something very daring, mischievous, adventurous, yes.
and dangerous.
They chased the train's wheels. As these big steel train wheels came into the station or left, they as packs would run after barking mischievously as if they're enjoying themselves and running in front of these steel wheels. But then they saw something horrific. Almost every single dog of all these dogs had limbs cut off. Here they were hobbling along. These steel wheels simply cut off their legs. And here they are, maimed, crippled, wounded, struggling, but still pursuing that which did this to them, which crippled them, wounded them, made them struggle to simply even walk. And here they are, because they're with a pack. And when you're with a pack, you follow the pack. Don't think you won't. Don't think there's a possibility. I don't care how saved you are, sir. Many obviously had been killed, probably the most, but that didn't deter them from this dangerous, adventurous, what they thought was happiness, you know, their pleasure, though it destroyed them, destroyed those of the pack before them. Oh, how many Christians foolishly chase after things that eventually cripple, wound, and destroy them spiritually. I want to repeat that. Oh, how many Christians foolishly chase after things that eventually will cripple, wound, and destroy them spiritually. Staggering. But why would a professing Christian still choose to follow and seek the company of the godless? Why would a professing Christian still choose to follow and seek the company of the godless and become crippled and deeply wounded spiritually by pursuing the things that the lost godless chase after to somehow have some fulfillment or joy, but that will destroy them? Why would a professing Christian still choose to follow and seek out such company? Be not deceived, God's holy book tells us. Be not deceived, young people. Evil communications corrupt good manners. 1 Corinthians 15:33. What does that mean? Be not deceived. Evil company, God says. If you choose it, and you choose it if you're with them, don't blame anything else or anyone else. Be not deceived. Evil company undermines and destroys godly virtue. That's what it means. You will become maimed, crippled in your pursuit of God. That's all it is. Fools. Fools make a mock at sin. Fools make a mock at sin. Proverbs 14 verse 9. And a companion of fools shall be destroyed, God warns. Proverbs 13 verse 20. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, God warns in Exodus 23 verse 2. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. He's speaking to his people. It's possible, if you're God's child, that you would do this. The warnings are strewn throughout the Bible to God's people. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, God warns. Isaiah 57 verse 20 declares that the wicked are like a troubled sea. It cannot rest. They weary themselves. They weary themselves to commit iniquity. That is evil. They weary themselves to commit iniquity. Jeremiah 9 verse 5. Which drinketh iniquity like water. Job 15 verse 16. Giving themselves over to fornication. Jude verse 6, verse 7. Giving themselves over to filthiness, God says. The wicked. That they may do evil with both hands earnestly. No restrictions here. No restraint. No matter what the consequences. They live for one thing. No matter what the consequences, eternally or in this life, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. Micah 7 verse 3. Who cause the righteous to go astray in an evil way. Who cause the righteous, if the righteous gives him a chance, to go astray in an evil way. Proverbs 28 verse 10. Young man, young woman, let not thine heart envy sinners. Proverbs 23 verse 17. Let not thine heart envy sinners. Beware. Don't become lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. 2 Timothy 3 verse 4. It's possible. He's speaking here and warning God's people, sir. Don't become lovers of pleasure. And you can. More than lovers of God. 2 Timothy 3, 4. For he that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. Proverbs 21, verse 17. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. Jeremiah 7 verse 24. But they hearkened not. It might as well have been written here tonight. Or any meeting. About some. They hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels of the imagination of their evil hearts. And they went backward and not forward with God. Jeremiah 7:24. They went backward and not forward with God. God's word cries out to us as all of us as Christians. God's word cries out to us all as Christians. Be not entangled again in the snares of this world. Be not entangled again in the snares of this world. Neither be partakers of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. 1 Timothy 5:22. And you can, or God has no right to ask you. You can, or God has no right to ask you. Psalm 1 verse 1. Blessed is the man that hears the gospel being preached. And an appeal is made, so he comes out. He has a little prayer. He writes the date, the time. He gave his life to Christ. He stands up, he testifies. I gave my life to Christ there. He starts going to the prayer meeting, the Bible study. No, that's not in the Bible. Most people who do that look cursed. Not blessed. Why? Let me tell you why. We take what we want to, like Jehovah Witnesses, even if it's half sentences, but the other half cancels out what we believe it says. So we dare not read the other half. Be careful. Blessed. I like that word. They say the King James is a bit old, you know, old-fashioned. Oh. They say the new versions, which I will not touch, but let's not go that way. Don't leave. They say the word happy. Yeah, there you are. I like the word blessed. You see, I know many happy sinners. Don't believe everybody out there in wickedness is miserable. Oh, woe's me, sinners. No, they're laughing. They won't for long. Satan never, ever will allow you. He'll destroy you. But they're happy. But I don't know any person on earth, wicked person, that has this, God's happiness, God's joy, God's peace. The joy of the Lord. The peace of God that passes all understanding. My peace give I unto you, not as the world giveth. The world gives peace. The world gives all sorts of things in different ways and means, you know, sitting looking at a tree for hours and saying, oh, I get peace. So I say, well, get up, and 1 minute later, as soon as you get into trouble or anything goes wrong, you've lost that peace. That's not very good peace. But I can offer you peace that passes all understanding. God's peace. You see, this blessedness is what God gives if you fulfill the conditions. And there's not a single promise in this book that hasn't got radical conditions. God has no obligation to fulfill his side unless you fulfill yours. If you're honest, there's not one single verse or promise that hasn't got radical conditions for you to fulfill before God has any obligation to honor his side. In the context, if not in the verse. Blessed is the man. God's blessedness will be you, will be written across your life, and not one single soul in this world will miss it if you do this. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. What does that mean? He will never ever allow the ungodly to influence him again. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel, the influence of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. What does that mean? He will never go again where sinners go for their sinful pleasure and fulfillment and their joy. He will never go again. Are you blessed or cursed? You're not blessed saying you're just saved. Sir, that's not true. You've got to look at the context surrounding every verse in this book. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel, the influence of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. He'll never go again where sinners go for their pleasure, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. What does that mean? The scorner delights in his scorning, God says. And you find them in every single church on earth, evangelical church. They scorn only one thing in its context, the godly. The godly young person who goes through with God, who goes all the way. They scorn. They ostracize. They mock. They're there. He will never associate with such people, though they attend the same church. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. God says, that's blessed. In Psalm 26, verse 5, David cried, I have hated the congregation of evildoers. I have hated the congregation, the gathering places of the wicked, of evildoers. And will not sit with the wicked. Sir, I'm not saying you don't have to win them. But there's a thin line the Holy Spirit draws to every one of us. And you know the moment you've gone over that line. You're no longer there to win them, they're winning you. They influencing you back. And you know whether you there to win their souls or whether you there to let them influence you back to sin. Whether they doing that and serve you sit knowing you're not there to win their souls, you're never going to. They're going to win you. You're in trouble. Oh, we owe it to the unsaved, but not to go to their company if that's taking you back. Not bringing them to God. And you know the moment it starts, not 10 seconds later, but the second, the Holy Spirit will warn you. Which you can say no to. Grieving the Spirit, quenching the Spirit. Oh, I've hated the congregation, the gathering places of the evildoers. I will not sit with the wicked. I will not choose to associate, to be with the company of the wicked, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Hebrews 11:25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, for this brief moment called life. And if you don't know yet, most of you probably do. That's all we've got. It's a brief moment called life, in case you think you've got long to do anything to prepare to meet with thy God, or to be used by God, or to glorify God. You've just got a brief little moment than to enjoy the pleasures of sin, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Isaiah 59 verse 15 speaks of he that departeth from evil. That means that repenteth, has turned from a life of sin to God. He speaks here of he that departeth from evil, maketh himself a prey. You see, Isaiah is the only book in the Bible apart from Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Those four books can be called the gospel according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. There's only one book in the entire Bible apart from those four books that you can say the gospel according to. It's Isaiah. Written 500 years before Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that side of the cross. But every single thing you will find 500 years ago written in detail of Christ. Every vital aspect of our faith. His virgin birth, Isaiah 7:14. That he was God manifest in the flesh, Isaiah 11:12. Why he suffered. His ministry in Galilee, the light. Every single thing, that he would be set his face like a flint, even though death was waiting for him. All this in Jerusalem. Why he died. Isaiah 53. His resurrection. The first appeal in the light of the gospel. Isaiah 54. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. It's in the light. You see the gospel of... And then it comes to the Gentiles being reached with the gospel as it spreads. And then it comes to the day of judgment. His return. And eternal suffering and damnation, the last chapter. The last three chapters, but especially the last chapter. It's all there, and more. The gospel according to Isaiah. You see, most of Isaiah, up to 80% of Isaiah, the most quoted book in the New Testament is from Isaiah. Christ quoted more from Isaiah than any other book of the Bible. The fulfillment of Christ, the Messiah. Most of Isaiah is speaking about the gospel dispensation, the dispensation you and I are living in. Not the immediate context of some of them, speaking of Cyrus, no, but the broader picture, and it's obvious, it's clear, there's no doubt. It's speaking of the gospel dispensation. And here he's speaking about something that will happen in the gospel dispensation as a result of the gospel of Christ. He that departeth from evil, that comes to repentance because of the gospel being preached and reaching his heart through Christ. He that departeth from evil in this dispensation maketh himself a prey. What does that mean? Literally in the Hebrew would be accounted as mad. beginning in your home. The wicked in your home that do not want God and will not come to God will account to you. I could go on and on for an hour. Of people institutionalized because they got saved by their families. You don't know cruelty until your enemy is your son or your wife or your mother or father. When a man's enemies are the members of his own household, sure, that's the gospel dispensation. Maketh himself a prey. He would be accounted as mad by his own family, the godless in his home, let alone the wicked out there that will not accept the change in your life if you once pursued wickedness with them, because your life will condemn their hearts, you see. He that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey, as Isaiah said, in the gospel of what the gospel context would be. He would be accounted as mad. Oh yes, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3 verse 1 through 3 verse 12. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, God says. Young man, young woman, be willing to be laughed to scorn, but don't compromise and become a companion of fools, rather than to choose to be with the people of God and to suffer affliction, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Be willing to allow yourself to be scorned and accounted as mad and treated as mad. And you will be. You will be, to the degree you go through with God in this book, especially in this generation, that hates the good and loves the evil. Galatians 6:14, God forbid, Paul said, that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. I have nothing to glory in. Let me shock you. The longer you serve him, the more you realize this verse is true. There's nothing you have, no ability, no oratory ability, no charismatic personality, you know, that you should have gone to Hollywood rather than the pulpit. You've got nothing, preacher, if you're right with God, outside of the cross to glory in. You've got nothing outside of grace, mercy, that's through the cross. The closer you get to God, the more you realize it. And Paul cried it. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. But that's just half a verse. By whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Now that didn't happen. You're not saved. By whom the world, beginning with the world in your home, the night you get saved, not a week later. Let alone the world at your work, with a broader family. Oh, you used to watch TV and laugh, moral decadence, even with the kids. Didn't matter if it's blasphemy, it didn't matter if it's moral decadence. Things that God condemns and damns for eternity, there you laugh. The night you're saved. Oh, no. And they see it. And daddy's on his knees, or the son's on his knees, crying, weeping to God. And they know it, and they can't enjoy it any longer. Somebody's weeping for their souls because they're still trying to laugh at what you used to laugh with. Brother, do you honestly think you're going to escape? You cannot escape. The moment you turn from the broad road that leadeth to destruction, many, the multitudes go unto the narrow road that few find. You can't be hid, because you're not on another road. You're on a road right in the middle. You still face everybody. that you were going with. And they don't want to just say, it's fine, you know, you turned. They want to know why. They're uncomfortable, beginning with the people in your home. Why? What's wrong now? What, you used to drink, you used to smoke, you used to listen to dirty jokes, you used to blaspheme, didn't worry. What happened in one day that you look at us now with tears and condemning us and telling us, no, you honestly think you'll escape if you turned and you go the opposite direction now to the celestial city and every single person is still there, brother. You're not in another world. You won't. All who will live godly, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know you're saved. In the world, beginning in your home, you don't invite persecution. That's silly. That's ridiculous. But it's impossible that it won't come. By whom the world is crucified to me. I died to all that. And I unto the world. They died to me. I died. I'm as good as dead in their affections eventually. Even if it's your father, if he doesn't want to seek Christ also. Is that your testimony? Is the world crucified unto you? Are you crucified unto the world, or is that folly to you? That only applied to Paul. These are verses we need to cut out because they're a little bit uncomfortable. In John 15, Jesus prayed, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. That isn't what God wants. But that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Literally from the evil one. But in its context, from all the evil one would want them to do or tempt them. Deliver us from evil, from the evil one. You see, he's the God of this world. And in it, he will tempt you through his people. Keep them from that temptation that the evil one will bring to them. To compromise, to be entangled again with the snares of this world. Oh, neither be partakers of other men's sins, God begs you. Keep thyself pure, God asks of you. 1 Timothy 5:27. Whatsoever things are pure. I love that verse. It's Old Testament, of course. 80% of the New Testament is literally word perfect, the Old Testament, this side of the cross. You don't know the New Testament until you know the Old Testament. You're in total poverty. Whatsoever things are pure. You see, keep thyself pure. Whatsoever things are pure. Philippians 4 verse 8. If there be any virtue, think on these things. That's something. Let your mind become absorbed with these things, God says. Protect yourself. Discipline your mind to reject evil thoughts. Thoughts of evil that will become evil thoughts if you don't discipline your mind to bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You can, or God wouldn't ask it of you. You can reject evil thoughts. You can reject anything Satan puts in front of you or your friends put in front of you. You're able to, bringing every thought into captivity unto the obedience of Christ. Discipline your mind to reject evil thoughts. Thoughts of evil before they come, evil thoughts. Overcome evil with good. How? Discipline your mind to be absorbed with pure things, noble things. Whatsoever things are pure, think on these things. If there be any virtue, that is, if there's any protection spiritually, any strengthening or building up of you morally in its context, think, allow your mind to be absorbed, discipline your mind to be absorbed, but to reject anything that would undermine purity, that would undermine anything. Because the day you don't, you're playing with a terrible enemy. You're not playing the fool with the devil, sir. You won't know what's left of your testimony or your life if you don't listen to God. I will set no wicked thing before me. That's a choice. Psalm 101, verse 3. In New Zealand, again, the beginning of this year, my wife and I were driving from one convention in Stratford. We're going now to some other conference. And so the man who was arranging this convention, he was driving us from town to town. You know, we stopped for coffee, a bit of cake, a little meal, going to the next town where I'd go to preach, and Jenny addresses the ladies. And so we came through one town, and this dear man says, "There's a strange thing about this town, Brother Keith, Sister Jenny. There used to be a little lady here. She was well-dressed, she was refined. She wasn't a street woman, but she did the strangest thing. She used to take these bags, and she used to go from trash bin to trash bin around the town every day. You know, the garbage, the rubbish bins, the British say. And she would stand there and shock everybody, because this wasn't a tramp woman, a gutter woman. She was dressed refined. She was clean. She was respectable looking. But she had little parcels there, little bags, and she would take out of every trash bin, carefully looking, and she would select certain things from the trash bins of the world. Carefully select, choose, put them in her bags, and go to the next pole or the next dustbin, rubbish bin, whatever you want to call it. And she would, and people were shaken, you know, but eventually people sort of thought, well, we don't interfere, you know, she's a bit senile or something. But there you are. They just left her to herself. Of course, strangers in the town used to stand there and mouths open and sock at this well-dressed woman going from dirt bin to bed, carefully selecting the rubbish from the rubbish bin. When she died, the police had to break open her house, a beautiful home. It wasn't a poor home. A beautiful home. In a beautiful area. But the neighbors became suspicious. They smashed down the door to get in, and they were shocked. So was the entire community. The whole house had shelves that she had carefully, and cost her money, she had put throughout the entire home. And every shelf was these parcels with names of what she had collected from the rubbish bins. These things she treasured. The whole house. Oh, the rest of the house was clean. Now, how many Christians do the same? Not with literal rubbish from the trash bins, but with the morally decadent trash collected from the rubbish, the moral rubbish of this world. That they go out into this world and they choose. How many people would be shocked, to those who are Christians, who name the name of Christ, if they walked into your house to find what you went out into this world, carefully chose, took back in your home? Trash from the trash of this world, the moral trash of this world, the moral rubbish that you went out and took, the literature, the music. You wouldn't have a testimony if anyone heard what you're listening to, what you've bought with your money and taken back, with a testimony that you come on Sundays with that testimony intact and a Bible in your hand. But the Bible's next to the moral trash of music. I know a boy in America. His name is Jonathan Desino. He's married a Romanian girl now, a Ukrainian girl. They live in Romania, and they also full-time missionaries on the streets and these big, just reaching the drug addicts. He's done it for many, many years. He came to South Africa. What a godly boy. He had an impact on our country. In the few months he stayed there, in our home and other godly homes across the land. What a godly boy. But his testimony, oh, I wish I could share his whole testimony, all the things he did. He came from a God-fearing home. But yet he has these little things on, you know. And this little compartment with all the Christian CDs and music, you know. Very spiritual, this boy. But he was listening to the worst moral filth from these dark, evil faces. You know, you don't have to ask yourself, is that questionable? They look like satanic worshippers. You don't have to say, that's how things are, you know. The cover tells you, run! It'll defile you. He was listening to this heavy metal, you know, about murdering, killing your father, about killing yourself. These horrific things that years ago you would be institutionalized or jailed for life if you propagated. But now money takes away all barriers and restraints. Even in governments that say they still protect us. No, brother, they don't. Not in this world. Yeah, he was listening to this. What are you listening to? That you wouldn't have a testimony that anyone in this earth would believe is real. If they knew what music you're listening to. Tell me, what are you listening to? I'll shock you. You condition yourself to listen the first time to something that'll really upset you. You're saved. But listen the second time. It isn't going to shock you so much. Listen a few times. I guarantee you, after a few times, you'll begin to enjoy it. That's the devil's power through music. You condition yourself to accept radical, satanic, depraved evil if you keep listening. Listen, brother, you can't help it if the bird flies over your head, but if they lay a nest and put eggs there, you had something to do with it. That's a pretty good choice, you know. Be careful now. What does Christians, what do you take from the rubbish heaps of this world, the trash, the moral decadence, the literature, DVDs, music that are morally decadent? Let alone, let's not get too much into internet, Facebook, even telephone, cell phone. What you can get. Let me shock you. You won't die without those things. The devil says you could never make it in life without it. I don't know how to put a computer on. I'm still alive. I didn't die. And trust me, some men whose children were institutionalized when they saw what daddy was watching, I said, throw it out or you lose your family. They threw it out. They're surviving. They still got their family though. Well, some haven't. What have you deliberately, carefully gone out and selected from the moral rubbish and trash of this world, taken into your home that would shock this world and people if they were to ever become aware? What all you have stored in your home from the rubbish, moral trash of this world? What have you in your home? What have you in your home? Answer God. Further than that, what do you allow as you go out into the moral trash of this world and linger long enough to store in your mind of moral decadence? What do you feed your mind on daily and store in your mind and relish from the rubbish and trash of this world's moral decadence? Keep thyself pure. How? Whatsoever things are pure. Open up your mind. Reject these evil things. You can. You have the grace given to you by God. What do you feed your mind on in cinemas? In books and music. DVDs. On the televisions. No one's watching you there and you look. No one's watching. So you came in for bread, but look at all these moral pornographic magazines. No one's watching. My testimony is not at stake. God's watching. But God doesn't matter. Does he? Anymore. I will set no wicked thing before me. Keep thyself pure. Whatsoever things are pure. Carefully choose, select pure things, reject evil things. You can. You can. One of the great old preachers of our nation, Southern Africa, in his old age. I was a young preacher sitting with a lot of young preachers in this conference, the Western Cape of Africa. This old man, I don't remember everything he said, but I was stunned at some of the things. One of the things he said is, You begin to thirst for the world after you're saved. You begin to hunger to go back to the devil's houses and feast from the devil's tables what the devil feeds to his people to satisfy them. You begin to hunger again for the wickedness of this world and to go back to the devil's people, to the devil's houses, to feed what the devil offers his people. You begin to thirst for the world again. There's only one reason. You will never find two reasons. You neglected God's word. You starved yourself. And so you had to start feasting back, because starving is not a good day to die. Not a way to live. You can't. So you begin to thirst. If you don't quench that thirst, if you don't fulfill God's word, which is his food for you. Listen carefully. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. As a babe, you have to have the word. Without it, you can't grow. You can't be strong. It's the word of God. I have come to regard thy word more than my necessary food. That's when you're right with God. You see, man shall not live by bread alone, food, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Oh, you could live without it before you were saved. You see, all you were was a child of your mother and father. You were born a child, but you're not born a child of God. But when you're born again, you're not a physical birth. This is a spiritual birth, but you're born. You become God's child. God's Holy Ghost gives birth. And you are becoming at that moment a child of God. You're born spiritually a child of God by the grace of God working in your heart through faith in his word and the working of his Holy Spirit. But that moment, you need another food. You didn't need it before, because all you were a child of your mother and father. You only needed physical food. Now you need spiritual food to survive. Now you're a spiritual being. And there's one food that will keep you alive. There's one food that will strengthen you. There's one food. And I've come to regard thy word more than my necessary food. Man shall not. You cannot live by bread like you did before alone. Now you live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Oh, beloved, thy word have I hid within my heart that I might not sin against thee. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. It's the word of God. Sin will keep me from the Bible, but the Bible will keep me from sin. Don't ever forget it. Don't ever doubt it. To the degree you soak yourself in the Bible as the greatest discipline of life daily, to that degree, you will be kept from ever hungering and thirsting for the world again. You will never hunger for the world again. The more you soak yourself in the Bible, young Christian, the more you will abhor the world. The more you will abhor the sins of the world. The more you will find yourself abhorring what they try to tempt you. The less you take of this word, you will find yourself thirsting and hungering, because you're starving yourself of the one thing God gives us to be kept pure. Beloved, Psalm 90 verse 8 speaks of our secret sins. Proverbs 28 verse 13, he that covereth his sins, secret sins, shall not prosper. It's speaking about spiritually. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy, God promises. Now in Ezekiel chapter 18 verse 28, God promises that he will restore anyone who has tragically fallen back spiritually into the folly of sin. He promises that he will restore you, but verse 28 says why? Because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions. Because He considereth what you've heard tonight. You're considering. You're taking to heart all God said. And you're going to turn. You're going to confess. And you're going to forsake. And God says He'll restore you. He promises to. He promises to. So here we are. How many of you are honest enough? Let's put it this way. How many of you give one iota of God's heart anymore? And you know you're guilty. You know this world has made you compromise. You know you've neglected this book. Because if it was the foremost discipline in your life daily before anything else, this is your greatest priority that you protect with your life and soul. Because you will be kept by God if you do. The devil can't touch you if you soak yourself in the Bible. You've neglected. And so you have compromised. You're hungering and thirsting because you starved yourself from the one thing that would fulfill you. That you'd never feel starved or thirsting again for these things. How many of you sitting here tonight would be honest enough to consider? Because you consider and you turn and you confess, He will restore you. How many of you would be willing to confess? It's me. But it stops tonight. And I leave this building, no matter what friends I lose on earth, God will give me others. And everything thrown out, no matter what, that has a question mark. I'll survive without it if I can't have it in my home, in victory. Every place I'll cease to frequent, every friend, I warn them once, you're going to hell, now your blood's off my hands, goodbye. You will make choices tonight. When you talk about turning, your choice. I'm not speaking to the wicked unsaved. I'm speaking to you who have a testimony, who know that all this you're considering, and because He considereth, you're not just throwing it out and saying, not for me, I'm pursuing sin. No. You're going to turn. You're going to confess. I'm going to ask every one of you in this building, no matter how old you are, no matter who you are, that's considering and knows God confronted them tonight. And tonight it ends. Because of your love for Christ, you're coming back now. You're confessing, you're asking God in mercy, knowing you're going to forsake it. By His grace, He's going to give you that grace. And you're going to take this book up and never neglect it again, and you will never thirst again for the world. I want to ask every one of you that needs to do that right now to stand. And I'm going to pray for those that are courageous enough in this world. Those who stand, I'm going to pray with. Costs, doesn't it, to be honest? I'll tell you something, it'll shock you. It'll cost you a billion times more if you don't. Because you will go through till you die, probably. And by the grace of God, probably get to heaven. I'm not arguing about all those doctrines. I'm asking those of you who don't want to go through the emptiness. Let me shock you. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, the Bible says. You know who he's speaking about? The backslider. You can laugh, and that is one incredible lie. You can laugh in situations, but your heart is sorrowful. You'll never enjoy sin or sinners again. Well, you laugh. You're lying to them and yourself, because you can't ever find true happiness in sin again if you're saved. So I only ask once more, you carry on because of pride tonight, or you say, this is me, God, and it ends tonight, then stand right now. All right, can everyone standing come forward? Please, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Be filled with gratitude that God's giving you grace to be honest. The only step to find reality with God again is honesty with yourself and God. So you come forward. There's no altar here to kneel. That doesn't matter. It's not the physical kneeling and bowing before God. It's the heart. Everyone in the building will please pray with me for these lovely souls that are gathered here to want to meet with Christ and find reality with God that will stagger the powers of hell from the next step they take throughout their lives to the last step they take in life if they do what they heard tonight with this book. The powers of hell are trembling even now. Don't doubt that, but angels are standing and rejoicing. If they stand and rejoice over one sinner that repents, don't believe they won't rejoice equally over those who are playing the fool with God. So, let's bow our heads. Everyone. And everyone standing, will you that are standing, pray after me from your hearts, please. And don't believe God will turn away his face from a prayer because someone's leading you in his words. No, God is too holy. Too perfect in love and integrity to do that. He wants this more than you wanted, brother, sister. So don't you doubt it. God's looking and God will answer this prayer fully if it comes from your heart. He looketh not at the words that proceedeth out of the mouth. God looketh at the heart from whence they come. If he sees in your heart this is the best you can do in honesty, is follow this prayer, then don't think God's going to mock it. He will restore you totally tonight. So do the best you can from your heart to pray this from your heart. But pray aloud with me, not loud enough to draw attention to yourself outside of the attention of God, the Holy Spirit. But pray together aloud with me. O my God, I come in shame and sorrow for causing thee such grief. That while I've named the name of Christ, and my body has been the temple of the Holy Spirit, and Christ has dwelled in me, I have gone places. I have fed off things from the moral decadence of this world. I have compromised, and I have grieved thee, and I've brought shame and sorrow to my own heart in pursuing the things that a child of God should never have. I come to thee and I ask thee for mercy because of the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanseth us, Christians, from all sin. If we confess, so we come confessing of all our compromises. Wash us in the blood of Christ, through and through. Let me have a clean plate here tonight. Things I've forgotten to confess in my baseness. Forgive me. Forgive me for every failure in thought and in deed. And by the blood of Christ, wash it all away. Let the blood go deeper. Let the blood go deeper. Wash me through and through. And through and through. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me, a consistent, steadfast obedience and grace to live in all the light I've been given according to this book. I lay my life afresh on the altar of God.
I dedicate my life. I absolutely surrender. And I ask thee to fill me again with thy Holy Spirit. He that dwells in me may take control and have control again by this absolute surrender and total dedication on the altar of God, that I am not conformed to this world anymore, but transformed by the renewing of my mind, that I may prove what is that good and acceptable word of God. Give me the grace from this night till the day I die to soak myself in the Bible, to feed off it, that I may live and not begin to starve and thirst for the things of the world again. Keep me, God, and as I do my part, which is clearly taught in this book, keep thou me, that I may be kept by the power of God through faith. Faith comes by the word of God. Help those who I have failed, who I have caused and been a stumbling block to, to forgive me. And as they see in my life God's love without compromise, may they seek thee because of the reality that they will see in my life from tonight, beginning in my home, to my work, my school, and to my worst enemy. Speak to their hearts through the reality of God that they will see from this time in my life. In Jesus the Christ's name, for his sake, we ask these things of thee, our Father in heaven. Amen. Now I have one more question that will make you very uncomfortable, but trust me, the uncomfortableness you will have throughout eternity, it's worth asking for the little discomfort it may cause you tonight. If you're not saved, and you know you're not saved, and tonight you're saying, no more. I will do this. I will seek Christ with my soul tonight. And I will do what I've heard from tonight till the day I die with all my heart, no matter what discipline I have to. If you seek God to be saved tonight, and you soak yourself in the Bible, you will be kept from the world. Trust me, you'll have. Hate sin. To the degree you soak yourself in the Bible, you hate sin and evil. So I'm asking anyone out there who has the courage to say, God, it ends tonight. I'm no longer serving the devil. I'm becoming a child of God by the grace of God through the free will thou hast given me. And no matter what it costs me in front of my friends and family, I'm coming to be saved. And I want you, if you know you need to do that, to not take a chance with eternity, I want you to stand right now and say, it's me. That will cost, won't it? But oh, what it'll cost you if you die on the way home tonight.
and you said no to God's last call. Through a weak man, I ask you once more, if you need Christ to save your soul from hell for eternity, and you want tonight to do it, no matter what it costs you in this world, you come and say, now, God, I need thee to save me. Just stand and say that right now, and we will pray with you. Have the courage. God won't turn away anyone who comes to him through Christ. He cannot. Because Christ tasted death for every man, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance through the knowledge, oh, that you would come to Christ. So you are not going to. Can we all stand, please? Now we gather tomorrow morning. If I don't chase you away and you never come back, and tomorrow morning you're still running. I hope you come back. I hope you come back tomorrow morning and tomorrow night. Tomorrow morning, I believe, what's the time of the service? Can somebody please tell us? 10 a.m. So we come here so we can sing a hymn or two. And I know you had one incredible meal today, so please forgive me if I'm saying the wrong thing. Is there an incredible meal tomorrow? Yes, good. And you can have a good meal. And that will be worth coming to also for that. And then tomorrow night, what time is it tomorrow night, being Sunday? 7 again. Okay. Good. Those of you that can, please come back. And tell God if you don't why you cannot come back and what reasons you will not come back. Please tell God before you make up your mind why. And I dare you, every one of you, to pray before you come back in this door tomorrow morning or tomorrow night. God, so prepare my heart, so work in my heart that I will never ever recover till the day I die at what I hear here. Does. No man can do that for you, but if you prayed with all your heart, and all of us, God can. And don't think he'll mock such prayers. So pray for me that I'll be prepared for tomorrow morning. I'd like to quote to you a few hundred scriptures that I've memorized, which is most of what I do in my ministry. 80% of every sermon I've ever preached for 47 years was just memorizing and the quoting of all the passages and doctrines of the Bible. I'd like to bring a sermon that I believe God wanted me to bring in this nation. Just God's word. If that matters anymore in this generation. So we've prayed. Hallelujah to those of you that were honest. I believe you will walk with God if you go home now and start now with this. Because what you don't start immediately when God speaks to you about the vitals, you'll never do. Start tonight. And then every morning and every night and sometimes through the days. I've spent whole night unable to sleep. You know, my eyelids prevent the night watches. Ooh, they can't stay open. Can't stop because you love. The more you love God's word, you know why? The more you read God's word, the more you want. You read 6 verses, you're fine. Try 6 chapters a day. You'll be saying, oh, why do we have to stop? No, let me give 10 chapters, 12, 60. My daddy did. And he shook the powers of hell. For that reason alone. So start tonight. Don't ever neglect this again. Or you will start thirsting again. Don't do that to yourselves. And those of you out there that knew God was speaking to your hearts and didn't respond, it isn't too late. Get alone with God fast and get right with God and do what you know you have to do, whatever it costs you. It costs everything to walk with God, Keith. That's what my preacher told me the night I gave my... They say it's free. It's not. It costs everything. Everything. To live this.
So we are dismissed, I believe. Careful what you say now, after this message, and how you say it. Be careful what you do after you hear God's unadulterated word. God go with you. And by God's grace, we'll all be back tomorrow at 10. And anyone that misses the meeting, we'll all know. And if you miss the meeting, we'll all know why. So God bless you now. Thank you for being here. We are dismissed.